All right, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. As we've been preaching here the last several Sunday mornings out of John chapter 3, I won't preach everything, but I do want to remind us that Jesus is having a conversation with a man by the name of Nicodemus. Verse number 1 and 2 of this chapter lets us know that Nicodemus was a man of the Pharisees, and he was a ruler of the Jews, meaning that he was high in religious society. He lived by the strictest code of the law. I said in the outline that he was a religious man. He was a man that had a good reputation, but yet he was a restless man, because the Bible said the same came to Jesus by night. And the application, the point that I made out of that is, you can have riches, you can have religion, you can have reputation, but still not have real peace. Amen. I'll tell you, that's what the world's looking for this morning. They are looking for real peace. They're looking for real joy. They're looking for real satisfaction. But most people, they go looking for it in a bottle, or they look for it in a pill. They look for it in a relationship or in church membership. I want to tell you this morning, church membership don't save anybody. You can be a part of the church as far as being a member of the church and not be saved, amen. You can be baptized in a baptistry, a creek, swimming pool, or a river, but that don't save you. You get saved by putting your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ and him alone for your eternal salvation. Jesus looks at Nicodemus in this text and says, ye must be born again. You know why he had to be born again? Because his first birth wasn't good enough. So I said, preacher, I feel like I'm a good person. And I don't doubt that this morning. I believe there are moral people here today. I believe there are good, common people here today. I don't think we have any murderers here today. I don't think we have any wife abusers or but my wife is here. She does beat on me a little bit. Y'all pray for me. I'm looking for a battered man. Me and Neil's looking for a battered men's shelter. Somebody pray for us. Amen. We're supposed to talk about that at the barbershop, not at church. Amen. But I believe you're good people here today. But I tell you, we're still all sinners. Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, the Bible said that the best we could do, our righteousness in the sight of God, is nothing more than a filthy rag. And Jesus looks at the best that religion had. I'm talking about, you're talking about somebody living right. Nicodemus lived right. I could go through all the laws. I won't take time to do all that. But I mean, he lived better than I do. He lived by a strict code of the law. But that still didn't save him. That still did not guarantee him a relationship with God. And he knew that, because he comes to Jesus. In this conversation, we've been preaching on this conversation the last two Sunday mornings. We preached about the demand for the new birth. He said, ye must be born again. Last Sunday morning, we preached about the details of the new birth, how it involves the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and the fact that Jesus had to die, and he was buried, and he rose again. And I'm not trying to be controversial. I know I got visitors here this morning, but I will say this. There are churches today. There's one church in particular down in Charlotte where the preacher said that he was not going to say the word Calvary. He wasn't going to say the word resurrection, and he wasn't going to talk about the blood of Jesus on Easter Sunday, because he didn't want to offend anybody. You know what that tells me? He's not going to preach the gospel today, amen. So I'm going to make up for him, all right? We believe in Calvary around here, amen. We believe in the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. And thank God we're here today celebrating a resurrection. He is not dead, but he is alive. And this morning what I want to talk about, the declaration of the new birth. I want to say three things out of these four or five verses that we've read today, and give you the importance. A simple message this morning, but a very serious message that everybody has to come face to face with in life. You have to come face to face with the reality that you are going to die. Those people last Tuesday morning at around 1:30 driving on that Francis Scott Key Bridge, that their waters plunged into an icy grave, they did not think that they were going to die at that moment. And our hearts break for that tragedy, but you are not promised your next breath. You are not promised your next day, and it pays to be ready to die. The Bible said it's appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The Bible said our life is but a vapor. I had a reality check last night. I preached at a church up in Winston-Salem, and the first time I preached at that church, me and Grace had just got married. I hadn't even come here as interim yet. We've been married about a month, and thank God they had us. We was tired of eating pasta sides. How many of y'all know what that is? They cost $1 at Walmart. We were broke. If you get married, you're broke. Somebody help me. Ain't much change in 12 years, almost 12 years. But we went and preached in that church, and last night, me and Brother Clayton were sitting there eating. He had 3 plates of food. I mean, he was just a pig last night eating, amen. No, I had the 3 plates, but I have a defense. They had tenderloin, and then they had brisket, and then they had bacon and eggs and sausage, amen. And I was just rejoicing that I'm a Gentile, all right? That's what I was doing, amen. But there was this young couple sitting across from us, and they told us they had just got married. And I said, man, that's great. And fella told me where he was from. And she said, I grew up in church here. I said, well, that's great. She said, yeah, the first time you and Miss Grace came here, I was 9 years old. And she's married now, 23. I'm like, you didn't have to tell me that. I always thought I was young, but now, you know, I'm like walking around like Eric this morning, just, you know, looking for some ice cream. Amen. But my point this morning is life goes quick. And you better be ready to meet God. 3 things in the text, and we're going home. Number one, verse number 16, there is gospel clarity. You don't get no clearer than John 3:16. You do not. I don't want to say it's the greatest verse in the Bible because that might say that another verse is not as good. It's all God's Word. But I will say there's probably no more popular verse in the Word of God than John 3:16. One old preacher said that John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. It is a verse so deep with the truth of the greatest theologian will never reach its depth, but yet it is a verse so shallow that even the smallest child can understand that God loves them. Only God could do something like that this morning. It contains 25 words, and the center word of this verse is Son. It's all about Jesus, amen. One man said if we were stripped of the whole Bible, but yet had John 3:16, there's enough gospel in that verse to save the world, amen. Notice it is a personal message. The only man that heard that night was Nicodemus. It was a powerful message, for it changed his life. It is a perfect message, and it's a message that preachers have preached for 2,000 years, for God so loved the world. Thank God, that's probably the first verse you ever learned in Sunday school, but what a verse, what a truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Thank God for the power of that this morning. Notice in the verse there is the person identified for God. If your salvation don't start with God, you don't have the Bible salvation. It has to start with him. It don't start with your good works. It don't start with your church membership. It don't start with water baptism. It better start with God. I had nothing to offer God, but thank God he had everything to offer me. The atheist says there is no God. But John 3:16 says that there is a God. There are those that would deny the existence of God. But John 3:16 defends the existence of God. This verse does not seek to prove the existence of God, but rather it exists to proclaim the existence of God. I'm not debating that this morning. There is a God. There is one God, one true God. And I'm glad he is the one that saved me and changed me and gave me salvation and gave me peace in my heart. Do you know him today? The person that is identified, the passion that is illustrated, for God so loved. That little word so signifies that there are not enough words in all the languages of the world to explain the depth, the height, the length, and the breadth of the love of God. How much John 3:16, it exceeds the wisdom of man. We could never comprehend it all, but thank God for the truth of it. I want to remind you something this morning. God did not ask you to understand the Bible. He asked you to believe it. Well, I ain't going to believe it until I can explain it away. That don't stop you from taking a breath every day, multiple times a day. You can't explain how oxygen in your lungs and all that work, but it don't stop you from breathing. I can't explain how a cow can eat green grass and give white milk and you turn it into yellow butter. I can't explain all that, but I do like melted butter on my popcorn. Somebody help me, amen. I can't explain it all, but I believe the truth of it. It is a message of faith. For God so loved. Watch the people that are included. For God so loved the world. That includes you. And that includes me. Well, preacher, nobody loves me. John 3:16 is against that theology. For God so loved the world. Amen. I'm glad he loves me this morning. Everybody calls it a children's song. It's not a children's song. It's a Christian song. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Amen. I'm glad Jesus loves sinners. Here in his love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. The people that are included. You consider and think about every vile person that's ever lived or ever will live, and Jesus loves them. But before you get high, sitting high on the saddle, don't forget you're a vile sinner as well. I'm a vile sinner, but yet Jesus loves us anyway. There is the present that is imparted. For God so loved the world that he gave. Talk's cheap. He done something about it. He did not just say that he loved the world, but he showed us that he loved the world. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying, and it is worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'm glad that Jesus came. This was a selfless gift. This was a sacrificial gift. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. 1945, the Hallmark greeting card company marketed their famous slogan for the first time. You've seen it before on the back of their cards. It says, when you care enough to send the very best. Well, that's what God did, amen. He cared enough to send the very best that he had in his son, Jesus Christ. There is the perfect individual. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't look to an angel. He didn't look to a prophet. He didn't look to anybody else. There was no search made through heaven. He looked for one, and that was his son, who did no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. Jesus never said a bad word. He never had a wrong thought. He never done a wrong deed. He was sinless and perfect and holy, and he was the best that God had to offer. You know what he done? He sent his son and had him sacrifice so I could be his son. One old preacher said, the Son of God died at the hands of the sons of men so that the sons of men could become the sons of God. You're talking about a trade there. You're talking about a transaction there. I promise you, I come out better on that deal than God did. Amen. The Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians 5:21, for he, that's God the Father, hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You think about this morning. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm not a bad person. Well, the Bible said if you've broken the law in one point, you're guilty of it all. So if we've sinned in one area, we're guilty of breaking the whole law. We are guilty before God. I mean, none of us this morning, including this preacher, want every thought we've had that's gone through our head this week to be put up on that wall for everybody to see. Help me now. We don't want that. And much less things we've said and done and ways we've acted, that's sin. Amen. The Bible said the thought of foolishness is sin. You take all that sin that built up on our account and builds up in our lives. And Jesus, he didn't have any sin. But here's what he did. He took our sin off of us. And God laid it on his son, Jesus Christ. And he took the righteousness of Jesus Christ and he put it on my account. You know about a good trade. You know about a good transaction. That is nothing more than the grace and the mercy and the love of God today. Amen. That is, I'm talking about gospel clarity. Then look on to the verse again. The process, the possibility that is impressive, that whosoever. The possibility, I don't know about you, that's impressive. Anybody. It don't matter how much money you have. It don't matter how broke you are. It don't matter where you're from. It don't matter where you're going. It don't matter if you live in a big house or if you live in a small house. It don't matter. It don't matter where you what your background is, what your lineage is. Whosoever. It is a whosoever will gospel today. The Bible said the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The process is involved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Now, listen to me very carefully this morning. It's not just saying I believe in Jesus. Because the Bible said in James chapter 2 that the devils believe and tremble. So does that mean devils are saved? Absolutely not. It is teaching of the fact that you place your faith and trust in him, which involves faith and repentance. Repentance says, I'm turning from my sin, and I'm turning to Jesus. I'm not going to trust in what I can do. I'm not going to trust in my good works. I'm not going to trust in church membership or water baptism. I don't care if you go to this church or you're visiting with us today. Everybody gets saved the same way by coming to Jesus Christ. Everybody. Well, preacher, I figured out another way. There ain't but one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, that includes you and that includes me, no man cometh to the Father but by me. One old preacher was visiting one time with a lady, and he was trying to talk to her about her soul. And she said, well, preacher, he was in the Atlanta area at the time. He said, preacher, getting saved is like going to Atlanta. You can get on 75 and get to Atlanta. It'd take you a while. You can get on 85 and go to Atlanta. You can jump on 285 and make sure you get off 285. Don't be like that Atlanta Braves pitcher, Pasquale Perez, who didn't know it was a circle and rode around 285 for 2 hours and missed his game that night. True story. Phil Negro pitch. I'm full of useless baseball facts. Y'all pray for me. But she said, you can get all these interstates and get to Atlanta. And there's many different roads, but they all lead to Atlanta. He said, well, ma'am, that is true, but when I die, I ain't going to Atlanta. I'm not going to Atlanta. I'm going to heaven. And there's only one way, and that's by Jesus Christ. Amen. There is this gospel clarity. Then there's the promise that's incredible. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a promise. That word perish there means to destroy, to put out of the way entirely, to abolish, to put to an end. As much as we don't like to talk about it, preachers used to talk about it a lot, but there's a real place called hell. It's just as real as Salisbury, North Carolina. Do you still believe in hell this morning? Sinners will die and go there if they don't get saved, if they don't put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But if you'll come to Christ, he has promised that he'll give life, hope, and peace. The Bible said in John 6:37, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's gospel clarity in verse 16. But look at verse 17 and 18. I'm hurrying. There is the guilty condemned. Look at verse 17. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This word condemn, Webster's defines it as to pronounce to be utterly wrong, to utter a sentence of disapproval against, to censure, to blame. But the word often expresses more than censure or blame. It seems to include the idea of utter rejection. But watch in verse 7, there's the purpose expounded. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God didn't send his Son, Jesus Christ, in the world to condemn you to hell. He sent his Son into the world to die for your sins, to rise again on the third day, that the world through him might be saved. He ain't against you. He's for you. That's why he came. That's why he bled. That's why he died. That's why he rose again. Thank God for that this morning. That's why he came. The Bible said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible said he'll have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. The Bible said in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost. Jesus can save. Preacher, you don't know how bad I've been. Jesus can save. Preacher, you don't know what I've done. Jesus can save. The soul writer said, we have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Amen. There is the pardon extended. Verse 18, he that believeth on him, connecting back to verse 16, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Thank God. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you won't be utterly rejected. You won't be turned away. You won't be ruined. You will not perish. Thank God for that promise this morning. But I know it's Easter Sunday morning. We don't like to hear this part, but look at, I preach verse by verse. That's my custom. Look at the next phrase. There's the problem explained. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Well, preacher, I don't want you condemning me. I've heard that before. You ever heard somebody say, you can't condemn me? You're right. You can't condemn me because John 3:18 says you're condemned already. You're already destined. When you were born, that day you were born, you begin to die. And the Bible says, for all sin control the Lord God, for the wages of sin is death. There is none righteous, no, not one. You wasn't born saved. Well, I've always been saved. No, you ain't. I've always been a Christian. No, you haven't. I haven't always been. There came a time in my life when I saw myself guilty before God, and I had to repent and place my faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. But the reason, you know why, and this leads me to my last, there's gospel clarity, there's the guilty condemned. Verse 19 through 21, there's a great choice. You see, the reason that people will not believe is because they choose not to. God did not create you as a robot this morning. You have a free will. You are a free moral agent. God gives you choice. Well, preacher, why did God let bad things happen? Because God gives man a free will to do as he pleases. Don't blame stuff on God. Somebody said years ago, they said, where was God at in all these school shootings? Well, the schools kicked him out 50 years ago. Where do you expect him to be? Don't blame God for stuff like that. Bad things happen in the world because this is a sin-cursed world. So we note the great choice. And he deals with this light. Verse 19, there's the reality of light. And this is the condemnation. That light is coming to the world. Watch it now. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. John chapter 1 reminds us that Jesus Christ is that light. But you know what? There are still some that reject the light. You know why they reject the light? Because they love the darkness. That darkness in the Bible in this particular context is speaking of sin. You will not get saved till you get sick and tired of your sin. You get sick and tired of that life. Remember that story of the prodigal son? He's sitting there in the hog pen. You know why he left the hog pen and went back home? He got tired of it. One fellow said he got sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, and he dropped the pail, jumped the rail, and hit the trail, amen, and he went back home. He got to thinking about those cat head biscuits his mama was cooking. He got to thinking about all those provisions that he said, my father's has bread enough to spare. I think that was cornbread and biscuits he was talking about, amen. It wasn't wheat bread. Somebody help me right there, amen. He was looking for substance, but he did not go home till he got tired of his sin. People won't get saved if they get tired of their sin. There's the reality of light. You know why people reject the light according to 2 Corinthians 4:4? The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine up unto them. There's the reality of light. Verse 20, two more verses, I'm done. There's the reproving by the light. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You know why we don't like the light of God's word? You know why people don't like the Bible and they're trying to do away with the Bible? Because it shines the light and it shows us all our problems. And we don't like that. We want to think it's okay. You know what? That's like cleaning the house in the dark. You can do a real good job until you turn that light on. Preacher friend of mine, I'll throw Mike Austin under the bus. Mike Austin was preaching. He said, don't nobody clean the house with the lights off. And there's a dear sister there. She's blind, and she picks about it. She said, well, I do, preacher. Mike said, I'm not talking about you, sister. Amen. She just has a good sense of humor and carries on with it. I wish I'd have been there. I'd have laughed at it. Amen. But nobody who can see cleans their house with the lights off. You know why? Because the light shows the dirt, and it shows the issues. You know why sinners don't like the light? Because they don't want to see themselves guilty. Everybody wants to think they're okay. I want to remind us all this morning, we're not okay. We all need a Savior. You know, if we could work our way to heaven, if we could earn our way to heaven, then why'd Jesus go to the cross? It sounds like a waste of time. Like that. I mean, why would you go and suffer all that if I could work or earn my way to heaven? It ain't by church membership. It ain't by doing good works. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because I know me. If I could work my way to heaven, I'd be walking around heaven saying, boy, I'm glad I've done that, and I'm glad I've done this, and boy, I must have real good. No, the only person in heaven's getting glory is going to be Jesus. And last of all, in this verse number 21, there is not only the reproving of the light and the reality of the light, but there is the response to the light. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. He said, you want to do what's right? Come to the light. Come to the light. You might be here this morning, I'm not just talking to our guests today, I'm talking to every person in this building. I don't care if you're a member of this church or you're a member of another church. At the end of the day, it comes down to, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? There's a lot of people. The choir sung that song, I Know Him. Yes, I know him. There's a lot of people. We was talking at breakfast this morning about people we've met and all that. And I've got to meet some pretty cool people. On the top of it is Georgia's football coach and our quarterback. That's pretty cool. Kirby Smart and Stetson Bennett. Amen. Don't drop your head, Clayton. That's all right. Amen. And I've got to meet some famous people. But they don't – that's the coach that beat y'all in the Peach Bowl. I know you was trying to figure out what his name was. I just want to remind you that's who it was. Ohio State fan. Bless his heart. But I met him. I shook his hand, took a picture with him. He don't know my name. And I really don't know him. I would say I don't know what his favorite color is, but I'm pretty sure it's red and black. But I really don't know him that well. I don't know what he likes. But I'm glad I know Jesus this morning. And there's a lot of people, they have I know Jesus. I know about him. But do you have a personal relationship with him? At the end of the day, that's all that matters. Preacher, I feel like I'm a good person. You might be a good person. But Jesus looked at the best. Remember who he's talking to. Remember who this verse is to? It ain't to a drunk. It ain't to a dope addict. It ain't to who we would say is the wretch of society. It's to the most probably upstanding man in the community. And Jesus looked at him and said, the reason you won't come into the light is because you love your sin. Are you tired of living in that darkness this morning? Are you tired of looking for peace? You're not going to find it in anything in this world. You might find some pleasure. Oh, there is pleasure in sin for a season, but there's only peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is, come on, Brother Matthew, what is Easter Sunday about? What is this weekend about? It's about the fact that God loved you so much. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, plunged you into sin. You were destined for hell. But God loved you so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for your sins. And he didn't stay dead. But as we're celebrating today, and we do this, we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. We just buy a new suit one time a year and celebrate even more. But every Sunday we celebrate he's alive, that he rose again on the third day. Because if he didn't rise again, Paul said we're still in our sins. But I'm glad he's alive this morning. That is the gospel message today, that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. Here's the choice this morning. It's light or darkness. It's life or death. It's the Lord or it's the devil. What side are you going to choose this morning?